Luke 10:42. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Luke 10:42. Father, thank you once again for this passage of scripture, and Lord, just seeing the difference between Mary and Martha, and knowing that, Lord, the life of servitude is necessary. We know that. But Mary has that part which won't be taken away from her, and help us to understand the need, Lord, to sit at your feet, to hear your word, Lord, to be able to serve you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we thank you for this passage. Help us to glean once again from the study on grace for every need. And Lord, again, may it be applied to our lives. We may truly, Lord, resemble Christ-likeness in what we think, say, and do. We thank you, love you, and praise you for the testimonies. Help us now to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. Open in your books there, Grace for Every Need. We're going to have just a quick review so that you can fill in some blanks that you may not have filled in already. This study is called Grace for Every Need, and we're looking at the Apostle Paul and how he had the thorn in his flesh, and he asked for God to remove it 3 times, and he said God's reply to him was no, and because my grace is sufficient for thee. And we're talking about different things that you and I may have in our lives that we necessarily don't like, and we may see it as a handicap or an inconvenience, whatever it is tough for us to serve the way we would like to because of it. And so God is wanting to show himself strong despite the thorn in the flesh that we may have. All right, so that's what we're looking at. Notice in our overview there, you know, we read that there in the beginning parts of the chapter, and it's just talking about the trials that we go through. And it said our initial response is to ask God to take them away. Yeah. I don't think there's not one of us that doesn't come into a trial that the first or the initial response is take it away. Amen. We have a flat. What do we normally say? Oh, man, why now? Instead of embracing it and saying, God's trying to teach me something. That's not what we say. It doesn't go with what we are made of. Amen. And what are we made of? Sinful flesh. Amen. When we are late, or if something happens to inconvenience us, the first thing out of our mouth is normally not praise the Lord. Am I right? It's why me, why now, why here, and then we blame somebody else for making us late. Amen. That's the way it normally goes. It's the traffic, it's the kids, it's the dog, it's the cat, it's the fish, it's the bird, it's the mouse, whatever it is that you have. Amen. But this particular lesson here is saying that we ought to embrace those inconveniences, and we ought to embrace those handicaps that we have. And I was the first one to raise my hand and said, I'm doing bad at that, and I need work on that. Amen. So we came up here to the text, and Roman numeral 1 was the agonizing thorn, the agonizing thorn. The challenge was this: instead of praying for God to take away our thorn, we should ask him for his grace to serve in spite of that, so that God can show his strength through our weakness. Amen. The agonizing thorn, A, is what came. A, what came. And Paul had some kind of physical limitation of some sort. We don't know what it is, but he did have some. And we said this: a thorn in the flesh is something so excruciating and handicapping that it weakens you. Figuratively speaking, it could be a physical sickness, a life failure, a family situation, a strained relationship, an inability to have children, a miscarriage, a variety of other things. Whatever it is, it brings you pain every time you think about it. And I mentioned that for years, my wife couldn't have children. And so when Mother's Day came around, it brought her a pain because she had had the 3 miscarriages. And then they had to take her fallopian tubes and ovaries out on the one side. The one that was left was scarred. And it was very painful every time she thought about Mother's Day and seeing people with children. God, of course, blessed eventually, but It was years, 20 years to be exact, before the first child came. So the agonizing thorn, we talked about what came, and then B, when it came. When it came. It came after a high of spiritual things that Paul saw. And we looked at 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 7. He had gotten a glimpse of glory, and some things that he experienced were very, very grand to him. But God said, I'm going to keep you humble by giving you a thorn in the flesh. We said oftentimes when you or I have something great happens in our lives, oftentimes it's going to be followed by a thorn. Not all the time. Not all the time. But sometimes we're going to be having this thorn come to keep us humble. Amen. Then we saw C, why it came. Why it came. And there are three reasons that the book gives, and we talked about number one. Why it came, number one, the hunger of self. The hunger of self. And we can be so consumed with what we saw or what we experienced. Amen. When you have that first baby and you get that first baby picture, what do you normally do with that first baby picture? Show it to everybody. You bring out your phone and you show them all these little pictures. What are you doing? You're consumed with yourself and your child. When the baby first walks, what are we consumed with? Look, they took their first step. Look, they said, Mom. How many children learned dad first? Any of your children learned dad first? Yours learned dad first? Yours learned dad? One of them? Most of them learned mom first because you're normally around mom all day. And so they learned mom first. when those things happen, we looked at why it came, hunger for self. Notice, let me read what it says here. Paul's thorn came to create a hunger within him for God, and this is one of the main reasons why our thorns come to us as well. As we grow in our Christian lives, it's easy to become so consumed with doing things for God that we neglect to know God. Now, by the way, the thorn in Paul's flesh could have stopped him or hindered him from doing things for God. Okay? He mentions that in Scripture several times. We neglect to get to know God because we're so busy doing things for God. We lack the spiritual hunger to know him personally. And it can be easy to serve him to meet our own needs rather than to fill up on his word. So in other words, what they're saying is we get so busy serving God that we forget to know who God is. Give you a good case in point. As husbands, we can get so busy doing for our wives that we forget to be with our wives. Amen. What's the difference? The difference is I'm going to cook for you. I'm going to clean for you. I'm going to pick up this for you. I'm going to do this. And oftentimes the wife just wants you to sit down next to her, hold her hand, rub her hair, whatever it is that makes her feel good. Look her in the eyes like you used to do when you dated and let her know how much you love her, how much you care for her. And be sweet to her. Every time we try that, my children butt in. But what's the difference? The one, I'm knowing her personally, being with her. The other, I'm doing for her. Now, which one do you think God wants us to do more? Get to know him more. Because if I get to know him more, will I know how to serve him better?
Yep.
I will. If I get to know my wife better, she might actually tell me, hey, I don't really want you to wash the dishes. Praise God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
She may say, I don't want you to mop the floor. Amen. She may say, I like to do those things, but you're so busy doing them that you didn't get a chance to sit with me so I could tell you that. So I let you keep doing them. So I need to sit down with her to find out, hey, what is it that you want? What is it that you need? What is it that you desire? And by the way, we should do the same thing with the Lord. Ask him, what is it that you desire of me, Lord? What is it that you want of me, Lord? What is it that I can do for you, Lord? Before I start doing it. Now, if we start doing for the Lord, what do we normally do? The wrong thing, amen. Sometimes we do the wrong thing. What else do we normally do for the Lord? If the truth be known. Yeah. The things we want to do or the things that we like to do or the things that we're good at doing. So I'll do that which I like to do, that which I'm good at doing, that which I want to do. And what do we normally not do? The things God wants us to do or the things that I'm not as good at or the things that I don't want to do. I really don't want to pick up trash. That's not of God. It could never be of God. I really don't want to clean up after children. That couldn't be of God. I definitely don't want to change a diaper in a nursery. That could not be of God. That is just sin. I will not change diapers. That's poopy. I don't do that. I don't do poop. It's not. Did you read mine? I don't do poop. See? You see that? But guess what? That's what God may have you do. And you might actually enjoy it. Preacher, I got to put something on my nose first. Wait a minute. Somebody had to change yours. Well, that's different. I didn't smell. So why it came? The hunger of self. Now, what did Jesus tell Martha? Look at that verse again. Verse 40. Oh, go back to 39. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat where? At Jesus' feet and did what? Heard his words. So in other words, she's here. With Jesus, talking to Jesus, hearing his word. That's where Mary's at. But now, on the contrary, where's Martha at? Notice verse, verse 40. But Martha was what? Serving. How many of y'all see that word cumbered? Anybody know what that word cumbered means? Not so much sorrowful. That can be a part of it, though. Troubled, distracted, burdened, consumed, overcome, all of those words. How many of y'all ever had somebody to your house? And now change it and you had somebody special to the house. What do you normally do to the house when you have somebody special come to the house? What do you do? Clean it. What else you do? Make it look nice. Bring out the best stuff. Tell the kids don't dirty it up. Tell them to play outside. Cook, bring out the best linen, the best forks, the best plates and all that, the best cups and all that. And does that take some work?
Yes, it does.
And what do you normally get with that work?
Stress.
Or cumbered.
Yeah.
That's Martha. Jesus is coming. Let's get this. Now remember, according to scripture, it's Mary. Is Martha and Lazarus. Unfortunately, in the house, men didn't do anything back in these days. They were out working. They normally didn't do anything in the house. Ladies did that. And notice what it says, Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to what? Serve alone? Question mark? And then she's going to tell Jesus what to do. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. You know how it is. You got children, and you task the oldest to do something, and the other ones are over there playing games. And what does the oldest normally do? He complains. Now, he's not going to get on them. Who does he normally get on? The parent. And what do they say? Mom! Why am I doing all this and so-and-so is not doing anything? Make them help me too. Amen. Hey, my sister was the oldest. And I had another sister. And I was the only boy. Certain things boys just don't do. My mom said, that doesn't work here. If they can do it, you can do it. But for some reason, they didn't take out the garbage. They didn't cut the grass. They didn't pick up the trash. And I said, wait. Didn't you say that doesn't work here? I said, so why don't they do that? She said, that don't work here either. You do that, they don't do that. What happened to equal opportunity? She said, it's equal because you're the only boy and you're getting out there and become a man. They don't become a man. Why does your logic always work and mine doesn't work? So I had to go and help. And that's the way Martha is with Mary. Go help. Bitter, therefore, that she helped me. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You're anxious, he's saying. But one thing is, what's the word? Needful. Meaning this is something that you gotta have. Mary hath chosen that what? Good part, which should not be taken away from her. And what is that good part? If you go back up to verse 39, sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his word. His word is eternal. So when you look at this, the thorn came for Paul because of hunger for self. God is trying to get us away from trying to do so much and getting us back to being with him. And so when we're doing, oftentimes we're doing because of a hunger for self. Martha invested her time in doing for God. Mary invested her time in being someone for God. And Jesus commented that she chose the better part. The next thing we find out why it came, not just because of the hunger for self, but the hatred by Satan. Sometimes the thorns in the flesh come directly from Satan himself. I think you've got down there Job 2:6, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes God allows Satan to attack us. Satan's goal is to destroy us, but God's goal is to show his power. By the way, can you still serve God even though Satan attacks you?
Yes
you can. Yes, you can. By the way, give you a good illustration. Did Judas Iscariot serve God?
Yes.
In his own way, he did. Was he also, though, distracted by Satan? Yes. He served so well that many of the disciples didn't even know that he was the one that would betray Jesus Christ. So it just goes to show you that you can have a plague of Satan on you and still do service and nobody will know the difference. Job here, it said, Job 2:6, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he's in thine hand, but do what? Save his life. What was Job's return in Job 23:10? But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall what? Come forth as gold. So the hatred by Satan is another reason. As a result of Job's trials, God's power was manifested. And as a result of our trials, God's power is displayed through us if we say, God, I need your grace. I need your grace. I want to sit down, get to know who you are, because I've got some thorns in my flesh. And with my thorns, I still want to be able to honor you with what I do. And so we've got to make sure that we realize sometimes a thorn is because we're consumed with ourselves or we have a hunger for self. Sometimes they come because of a hatred by Satan. But then thirdly, they can come that we can honor the Savior despite what we're going through. We honor the Savior despite what we're going through. Notice you get 2 Corinthians 12:10 down there. Now, I have an upside down smiley face, or the smiley face with a sad face first. Anybody know why I got the sad face first? Because I struggled with the first part of that verse. Notice what it says. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Paul said, I don't mind being sick. Folks, I'm going to be honest, I mind. I just got to be honest. Now, you may say, I don't mind. God, the devil can beat me, and I can be sick, and I can be ill, and I can have my thorn in the flesh, and things don't go right, and I'm still going to go on. I'm still going to go on, too. But I don't like it. I can't join Paul and say I take pleasure in that. I should be able to say that. But I haven't arrived there yet. I'm just going to be honest, I haven't. Now, maybe you have. Praise God for you. But I still struggle in that area. I like serving God healthily. But can you serve God when you're not healthy?
Yes.
Yes, you can. You really can. Brother Duffy does it every Sunday.
Yes, sir, he does.
He comes in with a cane. He can't drive himself. He has to have somebody bringing him. This is someone that used to drive the van at one time. And he does it every week. Several of you have ailments and issues that you battle with all the time. Headaches, body aches, this, that, and the other. Time of life, time of month. I mean, and we still go on. We have to. Or are we going to be a casualty? Paul said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Now, I've got the bad smiley face there. After that, he says, in reproaches and necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Now I've got the happy face. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I want to be strong. But to be strong, guess what I got to be first? Got to be weak.
Yes, sir.
Maybe start out strong or weak? Weak. When you start at your job, do you start out strong or start out weak? Start out weak because you don't have knowledge. When you start school, do you start out strong or weak? Start out weak because you don't have knowledge. Whatever it is that you embark upon, you always start out weak. You start in artistry or whatever that is. My little sister, or my biggest sister, she's an artist. And guess how she started out drawing? On the walls of the bedroom. Mom and Dad came in and there were pictures all on the wall that she had drawn. Mom and Dad came in, she said, look what I did, all proud. Mom and Dad were kind of like, we need to get you a sketching pad. Because she had drawn all on the walls, crayons, markers. What happened? She started out weak. But later on, guess what? She had some strong drawings. Won competitions, was able to sell some. But she started off weak. What's going on here? God is letting you and I know that sometimes we have to have a thorn in our flesh to make us weak so that we can get strong. I don't like it any more than you like it. That's why I put that face there. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. By the way, when you have a little child, why do they bring you the balloon as the adult? Little children can't blow up balloons. What do? Can you blow that for me? And you start blowing it. Like, oh, wow. Look at that. Then they go pop it. And they come back with another one. Do it again, please. Why? Because they can't do it. That's pretty much what God is wanting you and I to do. We get our infirmities in the flesh. We get those things that we don't like, those things that make it difficult to serve God. He wants you to come to him and say, can you blow it up for me? Can you help me to do what I need to do despite what I have? And so he wants us to honor him despite that. Paul said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. In reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses, all these things that I don't like. He says, I do it for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. As you and I endure trials, we honor our Savior by coming to him to seek his strength, much like we would a child with the balloon. Whatever our need is, Jesus Christ can fill that need and give us what we need to serve him. Amen. You've got Hebrews 4:16, right? Notice what it says there. Let us therefore come how? Boldly unto what? The throne of grace. In other words, getting that which God has for us. We're boldly coming in with our balloon and saying, can you blow it up? We're boldly coming in. Here's my jar. Can you open it up? Here's what I have. Can you help me in spite of how I feel to go on? Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain what? Mercy. And find what? Grace to help when? In time of need. Amen. So when you look at that Roman numeral 1, the agonizing thorn is what came a B, when it came. C, why it came. Your thorn may come for a different reason than what's listed there. Yours, you may have been born with.
Yeah.
But guess what? Nonetheless, it's a thorn.
Uh-huh.
Roman numeral 2, the astonishing truth. The astonishing truth. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9 for that. 2 Corinthians 12. The astonishing truth, Roman numeral 2. The astonishing truth. And in 2 Corinthians 12, let's read verses 9 and 10 together. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. And let me get a sip of water here, and I will read this with you. 2 Corinthians 12. The astonishing truth. And let's start reading together verses 9 and 10. Here we go. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 9. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I've got a sad face for verse 9. And I've got a happy face for verse number 10. And for the latter part of verse number 10. Verse number 9, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I like that part.
Amen.
Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. I don't like that part. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. I like that part. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities. I don't like that part. In reproaches, don't like that part. In necessities, don't like that part. In persecutions, don't like that part. In distresses for Christ's sake. Only like for Christ's sake. Don't like the distresses.
Yeah.
When am I weak? When I am weak, then am I strong. How many of y'all like everything about that verse, struggles and all? Not many of us.
Not many.
We're being honest.
Yes, we are.
And we have to be honest if we're going to get the help that we need. Because of what this thorn did in Paul's life, he was overwhelmed, overruled, and overjoyed. He learned that the thing that he thought was holding him back was the very thing that was making him better.
Yep.
Because he got the thorn, he got God's grace, and it made him better than he was before the throne. Can you imagine that? Before the thorn, he wasn't as good. After the thorn, he was better. Now, you would probably have to do some good thinking to see what it is that you have had happen in your life. And because you had it happen, you were better afterwards. You'd have to do some very, very good inspection. But I guarantee you, you'll find something. I'll share one of mine. I shared with you last week about it took us 20 years to have children.
It did.
And because it took us 20 years to have children, it made us better parents.
Yes, it did, Pastor. It did.
Much better parents than we would have been if we had met, gotten married January 14th, 1984, and had children right off the bat. We would not have been the parents that we are today. But because we suffered with a thorn for 20 years, it gave us time to say, okay, God's grace is sufficient for us to be the type of parent. And God, what kind of parent do you want us to be? There were many days that we spent praying and reading and asking and saying, Lord, when we do get children, what type of parent should we be?
That's good.
And so because of that thorn, it made us better parents. And I'm sure if you think back and say, what was I like before that thorn that I had? You would see that God's grace was sufficient if you asked for it. And we became better. I read a devotion this week, and let me share with you what it says. It says, enlarge your outlook. And it's from Genesis 42 and verse 36. Remember, Jacob was a trickster. He was a heel catcher. And towards the end of Jacob's life, everything seemed to be against him. Joseph was taken away from him. The brothers went down to get some food, and Joseph, disguised as the grand vizier, kept one of the brothers. And he said, "You're not going to see your brother until your youngest brother comes back with you." And Jacob had already said, "You're not going to take him." And notice what the devotion says. I'll read the verse first. It says, "And Jacob, their father, said unto them, 'Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not.'" That's the one that was being kept in prison. "And ye will take Benjamin away." That's the youngest. And he said this, "All these things are against me." Have you ever felt that way? Seem like everything in life is against me. My children are against me. My job is against me. My wife is against me. My husband, my relatives, my finances, the bill collectors, everybody's against me. That's what he says. Now notice this devotion. It says, God wraps his blessings up in strange disguises, and we rarely have faith to see into their heart. Many a thing that we should call a curse in the language of heaven may be called a blessing. And many a thing we welcome as a blessing in the language of heaven may be called a curse. I have known a piece of good fortune come to men, and it just sapped their character and ruined their children. The easy life is the hardest of all lives to live without rotting of the moral fiber. In other words, we want the easy street. He said that's the easiest way to rot your moral fiber and your character. He says, but I have known lives too that suddenly were burdened, and the burden at the first seemed quite intolerable. Yet the will has been so strengthened and the heart so nerved in the very bearing of the unlooked for load, it has so widened the sympathies, enlarged the outlook, and deepened and sweetened all the springs of their character, that by the end of the day, the burden is transfigured into the love gift of Almighty God. How often does a mother say to her child, 'Child, child, you don't know what is good for you.' Perhaps in this matter, even the wisest of us are only children of larger growth. And so, like Jacob, we cry, 'All these things are against me. It is marring my happiness. It is spoiling my life.' And God, in his infinite wisdom, lets the thorn remain and whispers, 'My strength is made perfect in weakness.'" Wow. I read and I thought, wow.
That's incredible.
I just began to look back over my life to see certain things that I thought was a burden. And it was a blessing. My dad raised us to work hard. And I used to say, "Why do we have to work all the time? Why do we always got to go and do chores? Why do we have to do this? Why do we have to?" It served me well when I got in the military.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
It served me well later on in my life. But I didn't like it at that time. I looked at my friends. They didn't have to do chores. They could run outside. They could play. They could watch video games and watch cartoons. And we had to do chores.
Oh, my.
It was always chores. And I thought, why can't I be like the other kids? Most of those kids are on drugs, in jail, dead, or came to amount to nothing. And the one that was made to do the chores, who was kept out of all of the things that they were involved in, is the very one that's actually productive in society. But at the time, I didn't like it. And that's exactly what this devotion is talking about, and that's what this is talking about. So A is, through weakness we are strengthened. Through weakness we are strengthened. Through weakness we are strengthened. They give an illustration here that I think is just fantastic. Through weakness we are strengthened. Strength out of weakness. What amazing a thought. When I am weak, then I'm strong. Wow. They ask this question, What is the most restricting trial you ever experienced in your life?
That's good.
What occurred in your life that made you think, that's it, I quit? What is that thing that made you quit? It says here, a man who suffered from childhood polio once said the worst thing that ever happened to him was his childhood polio. But the greatest thing that ever happened to him was his childhood polio.
Wow.
Isn't that a paradox?
Yep.
The worst thing is this polio, but the best thing is this polio. Fanny Crosby said one of the worst things was her being blind.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the best things was her being blind. Wow. It's amazing. She probably would not have done what she did if she could see. You probably would not do what you could have done or what you did if you didn't have that trial.
Mm-hmm.
You would not be what you are without that trial. Because you have God's grace,
mm-hmm.
which is sufficient.
Yes,
now, I raise my hand and say I don't like trials with the best of them.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't take away the fact that they're going to come because God knows we need them to make us better with his grace. That is sufficient. So, A, through weakness, we are strengthened. He gives an illustration here, and I like this. Notice what he says here. For a young child, and even for many adults, there's something fascinating about seeing a colorful kite fly in the sky. How many of y'all like kites?
Amen? Amen, Pastor.
Assuming the environmental conditions are conducive for kite flying, what is the main thing you need to remember if you are going to fly a kite? You need wind, and what else do you need? Well, you do need open space.
Yep. Yep.
There's one other thing that you gotta have. You gotta have strength.
You gotta have the string.
The main thing you need to remember if you're flying a kite, you need to keep your hands on the string.
Yep.
If you let go, the kite will either fly away or fall to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it interesting? Notice this, that a restriction is what keeps the kite beautifully in the sky.
Incredible.
How many of you ever had a kite where the string broke? What happens to kite? Goes bye-bye. You never see it, especially if it's way up there. You watch it go off into the wild blue yonder. Isn't it interesting that a restriction is what keeps the kite beautifully in the sky, doing what it's designed to do? Without a child holding on to the string of that kite, the kite would not be able to fulfill its whole purpose for existence. The thing that we think is holding us down the most may be what is helping us the most stay afloat. We must first be empty before we can be filled. We must first be broken before he will fix us. We must first be needy before he will give to us. We must first be cast down before he will lift us up. What a transforming truth. I read it and I thought, that is so amazing. We don't really look at it that way. If I'm not broke, I don't need to be fixed. If I'm not empty, I don't need to be filled. If I don't have a need, why does God come? By the way, we come to God as needy sinners, needing what? Forgiveness of what? Sin. Because Jesus has the forgiveness. And when we come as needy sinners, knowing our need, what does he do? He takes away our sins and fills us with his spirit. Amen. God is good like that. So A, through weakness we are strengthened. Then B, give you this one. Through weakness we are perfected. Through weakness we are perfected. There's one Greek word for the phrase is made perfect. And that phrase is the same one that Jesus used on the cross. Anybody know that phrase that he used, that last phrase? It is finished. That is the same phrase for perfected. It is finished. It is completed. It is perfected. It is done. When we're strengthened through Christ, our strength is completed. It is perfected. It is finished. And we don't need anything else added to the strength that Jesus Christ gives us because it is finished. That will enable us to operate with the thorn. That will enable us to operate in spite of the thorn. That will enable us to do more than we could without the thorn.
Amen.
That's amazing. It is really amazing. If we ever find ourselves feeling desperately consumed by thorns in our flesh, rest assured God's strength is enough. His strength is perfect. It's sufficient for anything that you and I may face. And so we'll start with number three coming up next week. But the thing I want you to take home with this is the astonishing truth is that you and I, our weaknesses are going to bring our strength. Through weaknesses, we are strength, because then we get a chance to see God work in us. By the way, as a sinner, the best we could be was a sinner. No place of heaven for us. But as a sinner, forgiven of our sin and saved, not only do we get heaven, but we can work for God's kingdom to get others there. Amazing the difference that that makes. So A, through weakness we are strengthened. B, through weaknesses we are perfected. Give you a memory verse, and we're going to give you Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. We need that verse. And that is going to be our verse. Hebrews 4:16 is going to be our memory verse for today. All right, we're going to stop there. Amen. But take home with you, God wants you to be with him so that you can experience his grace in the time that you need it most for the thorn that you and I have. Father, thank you so much for your grace that's sufficient. Lord, we all have thorns. Many thorns are different, and you know exactly what thorn we need. Oh, Lord, you know what thorn we have. Help us with that thorn to be able to grab hold of the grace that you have by boldly coming to the throne of grace, we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need with the thorn that we have. Help us as we go forward today and to tomorrow and to the week. Lord, several trials may come our way. Help us to rest on this verse. My grace is sufficient by coming boldly to the throne of grace to find that mercy and grace to help in the needy times that we find ourselves in, because your grace is sufficient. Bless now the refreshments next door. And thank you for your goodness in our lives, Lord. Help us to glorify you and honor you despite the thorns that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You are dismissed. Refreshments are right across the hallway. Help yourself. We'll be getting started here in just about 15 minutes.